You're listening to Road to Black Tech Week, where culture, capital, and creativity collide. And today, we're reliving one of the most iconic interviews in Black Tech Week history, my sit down with our first keynote and global superstar, Serena Williams. From grand slams to being a general partner, she walks us through the $111 million fund and thesis behind Serena Ventures, and why backing future-forward founders is both personal and powerful. This is about investing, parenting, losing, learning, and doing it all while betting big on yourself. Black Tech Week 2025 is headed back to Cincinnati, July 14th through the 16th. So if you want to be in rooms like this, head to blacktechweek.com for tickets and planning info. All right, let's get into it. Thank you for all being here today. I'm not going to hold you up very long here, but this is a dream today to be able to introduce the next person who's going to be here today. So I would like to welcome to the stage general partner of Serena Ventures, Serena Williams. I'm going to try not to be weird.
No, this is great.
Thank you very much. So we know a lot about your success from the career that you've had in sports. But what a lot of folks don't know is that you've been a businesswoman for a long time. I think that many times professional athletes are just put into one space. Mm-hmm. But for quite a while, you've been investing in lots of things and diversifying who you are. Can you tell me a little bit about when you got into angel investing?
Okay, so I was just telling this story the other day. I would be literally play matches, and I would start thinking to myself at the coin toss, and I'm like, gosh, I wish I had invested in Google. Gosh, I wish I had invested in this company. And it just like, because in tennis, you have this tennis court and they have all the sponsors around. And I'm thinking, man, I should have invested in that. And I genuinely started asking myself questions like, how do I start investing in these companies? I knew, you know, I can't play tennis forever. And so I'm just thinking like, well, there has to be an easier way because I'm sweating and I'm hot and I'm tired. So that's literally how it started. And so I started asking questions, and a lot of questions led to more questions, which I didn't realize. And then I just started slowly getting some answers to them. And then little by little, I just started investing in one company and this in one company and one company. And then I made a bad investment here or there, and then I made good investments. And then I learned a lot. I learned a lot from my bad investments and what I needed to do. But without even realizing it, I realized naturally I started investing in early stage, which was interesting to me. And I was like, I didn't really think about it until years later when I raised my fund that I really like helping and being a part of shaping companies and just really, you know, guiding them and just shaping how they think and how they hire, because it's really, a lot of people don't realize that when you think of these massive companies, it's really the first five or the first 10, the first 20 hires that really make a difference in when it comes to a lot of wealth. And so for me, it's really just like coaching these companies and making sure they're hiring diversity. And that was always something that I just was always so passionate about. And that's kind of how I just started investing. And I invested in a fund. I have to give a lot of credit to Base Ventures. It's with Kirby and Eric Moore. And they were the first fund. There was a black fund that I invested in. And through that fund and through them opening doors for me, I would ask questions and I would say, I like that you invested in this company, Ollie. Like, can I do a side investment and just like something from just on my own? And so I got to know founders more. And then the more you get to know founders, they introduce you to other founders, and those founders introduce you to more founders, because your best deal flow really comes from founders. And so that's kind of how it all started. Very long answer.
We only want to hear you speak. So they just want me to ask the question really fast and listen. So I saw you post on Twitter. You actually retweeted something the other day. Basically, the gist of the post was that white males receive about 98.7% of all business funding. So basically what that means is 1.3% is for white women and everyone else. When you saw that and you retweeted it, like, why did you? What does that mean to you?
That's the reason Serena Ventures exist. I'd been angel investing for about 7 years before I actually raised our first fund. And somewhere on that journey, I was actually at a JP Morgan conference, and Jamie Dimon was speaking to Karen Becker, and she had said on stage that less than 2% of all money went to women and people of color, and even less went to people of color. And I thought she misspoke. So I said, wow, afterwards, I was like, Karen, like, interesting, but, tell me more about this fact. And like, dude, was it a mistake? It was between us. it's fine. And no, it wasn't. But my mind literally couldn't compute that literally everything goes to the same person. And so, but like attracts like. So if you have white men in the big companies writing the checks, they're going to obviously write it to people that they see and that they know and that they're friends with, and the same thing with us. So I think the only way to actually change that is to have people that look like me, people that look like you, people that look like you guys, to be writing the big checks. And so that's when I said, I want to start Serena Ventures. I want to expand the angel portfolio, because that number is something that I can't compute. And it hasn't really changed much, which is really insane.
Like, but you could have done a family office.
Yeah.
So you said, I just want to go bigger.
Yeah, no, because I had been doing like the angel investing family office. But after that, so I started investing. After I learned that, I invested for like 3 or 4 years just building my track record and building my portfolio, because I knew no matter who I am, that they're still going to ask questions, but they're still going to be like, but, because I am Black and I am a woman, and I never let that leave my mind. And it's always something that I'm very aware of, because I'm reminded of that every day. And so it's super important for me. And so that's why for 4 years, I built my track record investing in companies using completely my capital. But it made me better too, because I realized when you use your own capital, you got to get the return. Because it's like either that or you're getting on some of these websites that are a little shady. It was so important for me, but it made me a better investor and it made me understand the business a lot more. And so that was super important for me, was to go through that, history.
So for me, raising a $50 million fund has been one of the hardest things I've ever done, right? It just has been a lot of no's. The track record that was built, there were plenty of people said, well, that one doesn't count. Like, So for you, raising a $111 million fund, did you go out for 100 and you oversubscribed? Tell me about how easy or how challenging raising the fund was with your other partners.
It wasn't very easy, but I think the best people to champion you are white men, because we need them in our corner to say, I vouch for this person, and that's so important, and women as well, and we have to champion each other. So I had a lot of people that knew me, that knew my track record, that knew what a hard worker I am, and how much I like to win, and they were really able to put in that first check, because I felt like that was the most hard part of like getting someone to believe in the first check. And so it was like, okay. It was like, okay, once we got that first check and they were like, oh, we'll do X amount. And then they came down, and they came down more, and then they came down again. I'm like, oh my gosh. But once we got that, it was able, you're able to get a little foot in the door and a little bit more, but it was a lot of calls. And we did this all over Zoom, me, myself and my partner, Allison, we did it all over Zoom. And, which was interesting because at the time I was nervous. I was like, and I'm literally, honestly, I'm gonna be honest. I was reading the script for the first few pitches because I was like sweating. I was like, I've never done this before. Like, you know, usually I've been using capital and my own capital. And now I'm like, want to do something better and bigger and make, have more of an impact. And so anyway, so it worked out. And, but it, it definitely takes a lot of people believing in you, and it takes a lot of talking, you know, and connections, and who do you know, and just being a lot on the phone. I really, believe it or not, I don't like to talk much. So that was, that's been really hard. That was my biggest challenge.
Yeah, I'm an introvert. I'm going to sleep.
No,
after
but
this.
I didn't answer your question. So anyway, so also I started out with a lower goal. We started out with 75, and then, and it was people that, I'm bringing this full circle. It was people. It was Karen called me and she's like, you don't need to do this. You need to do at least 100. You need to do more. And so I really liked that she believed in me, and then it made me believe in me. And then I think when you believe in yourself, people read that and feel that even over Zoom. And then you have this confidence that just exudes off of you. And then they are like, I want in on that and I want to champion that. So it's so important to have champions that can push you and that can believe in you and that can help you to do more.
So we've talked all around Serena Ventures. So what is your fund thesis?
So we, it's really important for us to invest in companies that are making, that impacts everyday, everyday lives of everyday people better. You know, we are looking at different things, whether it's fintech or femtech, and we love femtech because we
love fintech.
Yeah, because it's just something really exciting for us, and it just affects everyday people in different kinds of ways. And that's kind of our thesis. Also, I'm a big believer in Africa. And I've been a big believer in Africa for a long time. I have several portfolio companies from my original portfolio that is in Africa that has done really well. And I'm a big believer in having Black people invest in Africa because a lot of other people believe in Africa too. But I want to make sure that we're investing in Africa. And so that's really important to me. So those are some of our theses.
And you obviously have a team. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your team.
Yeah, we have a team dynamic. So when I started this, I didn't realize I was doing a startup, you know, because they don't tell you that. They're like, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll do this, but it's actually, I'm starting, I have a startup. And I'm raising money for other startups, and it's just, it's nuts. So we have a small team of six. One of my team members is here, Olivia. She's my right hand. She just does everything. She's amazing. And right now we have a general partner, and well, we all believe that team is super important. And we're expanding our team actually currently, we really believe that no matter who has a deal or who does the deal, it's a we environment. It's not like I did this deal or I sourced it, which may be true, but we all end up looking at it. We all go through it and we all say, okay, this works, this doesn't work. And for me, it's really important about building a strong team and building, you know, good communication in the team. And it's not easy because not, you know, just naturally not everyone not everyone meshes with everyone on any level. That just doesn't happen. But for the most part, I always tell my team that we're going in the same direction. We have the same goals. Let's get there together.
Oh my goodness, you guys, this is my favorite conversation I've ever had in my life. Can you tell me any trends, any areas that you are really interested in right now in, as far as investing is concerned?
Well, we have been really looking at, and particularly my partner has been really looking at like the menopause space. And so we...
Who put this lady on stage? I love the menopause space.
So does everyone else now. So we've been looking at it for years and years. And now it's becoming a trend. And now we're like, how do we pick the best? Because now it's like, now people are really thinking, okay, there's a lot of women in the world that are going to go through menopause.
Imagine that.
Can you imagine?
They might have a period.
Yeah.
And they might go through menopause.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, so this is something we should do. And I'm like, yes. And now people are actually believing in these founders who's been believing in it for so long, but couldn't get the capital because they're not in the 98%. So we're really passionate about that space. We're really passionate about healthcare as well. But a lot of me, things that I do, I'm really, really into a lot of things that are more, less sexy, you know, the B2Bs, and I'm really diving deep into the Web3 and the crypto space.
We've had a lot of Web3 conversations this week. Why did you decide to come to Black Tech Week?
Well, it means it's so important for me to be here, right? You have to think that, first of all, no, thank you, but I should be thanking you all because it's really important for me to share my story and, like I said, to champion, because you never know, you might hear one word that's like, I've experienced that, or I know what you're talking about, and then that gets you over the hump or of what you're trying to do and what you're trying to achieve. And that is so important. Anytime there's an opportunity to be an inspiration to someone, especially to us, it means a lot to me.
So you talked a little bit about things you've learned over time from your angel investments. I know you may not be able to pick a favorite startup that you've invested in.
Yeah.
But can you talk a little bit about the things that you've tweaked over the years? Maybe stage, I don't want to lead you in a certain direction, but
yeah.
What have you changed over time?
So the one thing that I've changed, and I'm really angry that I didn't do this before, was I'm looking at it different. Like I said, there's a team, and people on the team think different. I'm looking at an investment and I'm saying, okay, I'm doing due diligence on it, I'm resourcing. I'm like, is this going to return the fund? Is this going to be a $1 billion business? If not, I don't look at it. And so that's just, and especially in the world that we're living in now, and the current climate of the world and the economy, I have to really think, okay, we raised our money, now we have to be diligent. I really want to return this fund to our LPs. I'm really thinking about the LPs, and I'm an LP as well. So it's like, I got to get my money back. Guarantee. So it's like, and people look at it different. Like, there's someone else in our office, they're like, I'm looking at it, is it going to, not necessarily at an IPO stage, I'm looking at, is it going to be acquired, and what will the acquisition be? And I'm liking numbers at the 400 and the 500 level. And I love that, because not everyone can think the same, or else we would just probably say no to most things. And then, you know, it would just be some really high bets. And so I love how the mesh of everyone works together. But that's the biggest thing that I've changed. And so I look at my desk, I look at the company. The first thing I ask is that, does that fit? Does it fit in our thesis, first of all? And second of all, does it work? Is this going to be big enough for me? And so if I'm doing the due diligence on it, then it has to answer those things.
As you've studied VC, like, what have you read? What do you have a favorite person that you follow that inspires you in venture? You talked a little bit about Kirby.
I have a lot of people that I follow that I think are interesting and funny, but I'm definitely not going to name names. And people that are maybe a little cringe. But they're still fun to follow. learn what not to do. But there's people that I follow. There's people you follow. You name them first.
You just forget for a moment that you can't talk to this particular person to give them everything they're thinking. So I apologize for that particular question. Do you have a favorite song at the moment?
No. I'm not saying I'm late to the game because I'm not late at all, but whenever I'm working out, I always try to play The Weeknd or I love his music. I think it's good to run to and just like to do the stair climber too. I'm obsessed with the stair climber. Which you would know if you follow me, you would see that the only time I post stories is if I'm on the stair climber. But I'm trying. I'm getting better.
So when did you find your passion for entrepreneurship?
Oh, young. I was in fourth grade and I was selling donuts. So I would buy like the 12-pack of Edmonds. And I think I may have copied my sister because Venus did it first. But so definitely through Venus. And we would buy them for like 99 cents and we would sell them at school for a quarter each. So we would hopefully make a profit and then we'd go buy some more. But I spent all my money in the ice cream truck. So my investments weren't great.
This is so good to know.
So good. But I promise I'm better now. I promise. Yeah. No,
you know what, though? That's helpful to understand. I have two sons. They're 13 and 15. And my younger son on the weekends will hit Instacart or DoorDash, order all his snacks. Oh my gosh, I hope nobody from his school is here because you're not allowed to sell stuff at school. And he goes into school and he sells stuff and then he'll hand me a wad of cash and say, put this in my account. And he's got tons of money. So now I see where he can be in life.
There you go. You never know.
You never know.
But also my dad was always an entrepreneur and it was amazing because my mom held down the house, right? She was like, she worked. Yeah. She was more like, I know what I have to do to pay the bills. I got five kids to support. She was more like what I would be. And then my dad was like a dreamer. Mm-hmm. And he had, and I never forget, and we were just talking about this a couple of days ago. He had this security company, and it was called Samson Security. And I remember thinking, I love that name, and I've always loved that name, and I thought it was cool. And so he would go and have his own company, and he would go to local parking lots in Compton at night, and he would clean the parking lots, and he would also be the security for it. And so he always had, you know, different jobs, and then the main job was teaching myself and my sister tennis. But I just think I became a big dreamer like him, and I just really... And, it's interesting as well. I think sometimes when you live in Compton or something, you have to be an entrepreneur and you have to do things that other people might do because you might not have an opportunity to get a job. Maybe you made mistakes in the past and you can't get a job. So it's important to have that dream and to be an entrepreneur. And so I think that's definitely where it came from, for sure.
So you've started more things than just Serena Ventures. You also have S by Serena.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about getting into the fashion space and why it mattered for you to get into the space?
Yeah, so I actually love fashion. I'm actually wearing S by Serena now that you mention it, but you said it. All right, if you insist. It just dropped yesterday. Okay. So, so I actually went to fashion school because my mom used to make our dresses when we were growing up. You know, we didn't have a lot of money, so my mom would have the fabric and she would have these old patterns and I would always see her making our dresses and she had the sewing machine and I was like, that's cool. I was really impressionable. But I thought, that's really, really cool. And so I always thought my journey would be in fashion. And so somewhere, and I always say this, between winning Wimbledon's and US Opens, Venus and I went to fashion school. And Venus and I, she got her degree. I didn't finish, but I just didn't test out. That was it. Because I was busy, right? I couldn't make the test. So but I share hers. So I really like have a passion for it. And I learned everything about garments and fabric and construction. And then I learned, of course, about startups and how to do the startup and how to run it. And so then I launched S by Serena, which, you know, is something that we do and that I do, and I make clothes. And so, and that was my passion. But even doing that, I was always thinking of other things, and just I started investing on the side, and I started doing other stuff. And then I grew super passionate about Serena Ventures, but still have our team at S by Serena. I mean, and then I'm thinking, this is too much, right? I'm like, this is way too much. I need to focus. And then I see other people. They have a car company, they have a rocket company, and they got a lot of company. They got another company, and I'm thinking, I'm not doing enough. So if he could do it, I'm like, okay, I could do too. So that was inspiring to me, because at some point I was really like, man, is this overwhelming? Like, what am I doing? But it's really about how you do your time, how you build your teams, building a great team at S by Serena that's really taking on that and running that, and then having my team at S Serena Ventures. And it's really, I was really inspired by that, because I was like, I don't want to be lazy. I want to be someone that can do more and can push myself. And so, yeah.
I won't ask a single tennis question because I don't play tennis, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm any good at it. But what have you learned from the sport that you apply to entrepreneurship and venture capital? How do those two things tie together?
Yeah, you have to be able to get back up. Like you said, raising money is very difficult, especially being us, right? So hearing no, or, you know, losing a match, it's like, oh my gosh, I have to play. I'm so upset. I have to play the next week, though. So you can't be upset too long. And the same thing is like, okay, when you're raising or you're starting your company, it's like, I heard no. You can't even let that bother you. You just got to keep going, because there's another call, there's another investor, and there's more. And so I think that also the work ethic that I have from tennis is just like, honestly, the office is much easier than sweating for 5 hours on the court. But I still have built this work ethic. It's like, okay, I need to go on the court, but I'm okay to sit here and do that, or I can take this call, or I can do this, or I can do that. It's almost, and it's not easy. I don't want to say the word easy, but it's almost like a reward from all the hard work that I've done. And it's like, I can do this. And I know I can do this because I've been doing it for 30 years, 20 years. Ish. But it's building that muscle of just being able to exercise that, and just to continue to go out, is really something that I've learned, and it's great. It's, I don't think I would have this work ethic if I didn't have tennis.
Yeah. So lots of folks, I'm certain, want to get in front of Serena Ventures. Mm-hmm. So how do you source deals? How do folks get to you all to even be looked at?
Yeah. So we have a email that we have on our website, isn't it? Like, I forgot it. Something. Yeah. So we actually look. We have someone. you put me on the. Hello. There you go. How could I forget that? Hello at Serena Ventures, and we have two people that look through, and we get a lot of pitches, but we look through almost every single email that we get. Pretty much all of them. And not many people do that. Not many companies do that. And so that's how, and some people randomly email me, and I always look at it. And honestly, one thing that I've also learned is that 99% of the answers are no, and that's okay. And I've also learned that founders are expecting no most times, as they're going to the next one. And that's, you know, they're hoping for a yes, but sometimes it's like they understand if it's a no. So, that's how we do it. And then also just who you know, people that can get in touch with my desk and my office. And, you know, it's a small world, this venture community. So when you know people that know people, and you can, that's how you kind of we kind of all interact together.
Yeah, a lot of venture capitalists have a situation where you have to have a warm introduction, right? Mm-hmm. And lots of
we
folks
have
don't.
Cold, yeah, that's
yeah,
why we
you're
have
able
our
to go right
email.
Into the portal, yeah. which I think is the right way to do it. Yeah. Unfortunately, there are just a lot of people who are blocking others. I mean, I guess they're blessings in general. So you have an amazing child, Olympia. Mm. How are you introducing her to just maybe a slightly different life than maybe you had growing up?
Yeah, it's always a question of like, is she working hard enough? Will she have the work ethic that I have? Will she have the desire? So I don't know. You know, I think as a parent, you never know how good you are as a parent until the child gets older. So I often wonder that. I did have her sweeping yesterday because we were playing and she made a little bit of a mess. I mean, not a bad mess, but I was just wanted to teach her like, you do that, you have to clean up because someone's not always going to clean up after you. So I think even little lessons like that are silly, but really important that children, especially Olympia, needs to know because it takes hard work no matter what you're doing. If Olympia's like, I want to have my own company, it's going to take work. It's not just going to happen overnight. And it's just going to be something that you have to really diligently go at. You're going to really think about it and you have to really dedicate your time to it. And you have to really understand that it takes a lot of sleepless nights. And so it's hard to kind of teach that to a 4-year-old outside of simple lessons of doing A, B, C, and D.
Do you let her see you doing your business?
Yeah. So usually she sits at my office. So she has a little chair. She has a pink chair and it's right next to mine. And she used to be in all my meetings, which a friend of mine told me she did that with her son, like, and he's wicked smart. And I'm like, how is this kid so smart? And I remember, and she's like, you know, I had him in literally every single one of my meetings. So I do the exact same thing with Olympia. So she can hear, I believe in osmosis, it's going to really kind of sink through and, you know, permeate through her. So that's what I do. But now she's been in gymnastics and sometimes she doesn't take the lesson, but, you know, or she doesn't take the call that I take, but sometimes she does.
Or maybe we can shift gears and talk a little bit about Black founders. So 7 years ago, I started a meetup group here in town. It was 11 Black founders. We ate cheese and wine together, and month after month, the group grew. And now we have all these people here. And people have been surprised by the level of gravitas from these Black founders, but I've not been surprised. Mm-hmm. How do we change the narrative around that we are good enough and a lot of times better than as Black tech entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I don't know how to change that narrative. I think definitely supporting, which is important, and just supporting each other, championing each other. But like I said, we have been entrepreneurs forever since we were born. We've had to figure out ways to make ends meet and to make things work. And I think it's so maybe telling that story of like, maybe it was something simple like selling donuts or like, you know, doing whatever that is, but we've had to make ends meet and we've had to go up against challenges that no one on the globe has to generally face. And so it's so important to understand that as Black founders, that first of all, you're going to probably be a lot stronger when you're facing, you know, economic downturns or things that are happening. You're going to stick in there and not going to turn over your business and say, I give up when COVID comes. I think it's super important just to keep championing it and maybe talk about it. I don't know how. I would love to try to find answers out to that, though.
Yeah, yesterday, maybe it was Tuesday, DeTavio Samuels, the CEO of Revolt TV, was here, and he said, storytelling got us into this mess. It's quite possible that storytelling will get us out of it.
Yeah, that's very well said. Yeah. Yes. Because it's about changing the narrative. And, you know, we're seeing sometimes in a particular light or a different light or maybe just doing this or just doing that. But it's, yeah, I think that is just storytelling and just, I don't know, having people use their platform and talk and showing that you're supporting this company. And maybe you don't invest in them. And that's one thing that we do. We might not invest, but we want to support still. And sometimes the best way to support is actually not investing sometimes. But just figuring that out, I think, yeah, I love that. I love how that was said.
So it sounds like you're a pretty hands-on investor and you get in there. Can you tell me like different ways that you do help and support companies hands-on?
Yeah. So for us, or for me in particular, it's really important for me to just use the avenues that I have. I have a lot of connections in different parts. And if I see a portfolio company that I've invested in and I say, okay, I think you would go good if I link you with this company or that company. And, I feel like that helps a lot. But other ways that I help too is just experience, telling them, okay, you know, what I've been through in the past, what works and what doesn't work. I'm really, one of my strong points is marketing. So a lot of people ask me about marketing and a lot of our companies try to pitch me or try to get ideas, I should say, off of me. Like, how do they market? How do they think out of the box and how do they do things differently? And that's really big and is when you're starting a company is to market because you want people to have your product, whether it's a SaaS or B2B, they need to, or it's a, you know, front door product. They need to just kind of know exactly what you're doing. So one question I often ask is, how are you doing that? How do people know about you? And so that's another way that I support our companies. Sometimes if it, you know, or people, if they feel like, okay, I really want to use the Serena Williams platform, which I don't really do often because I feel like the Serena Ventures part of me is so strong and using my brain for this knowledge is also well, really, really such a big plus. But often you do have that opportunity sometimes to use that other platform if it's something that I'm like, okay, this is really cool. This needs this platform. So there's so many ways that I help and support companies.
And will you do it again? Do you think you'll do another fund after this fund?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. It's just when, right? It's like, okay, when are we going to do our next raise? And we talk about this always. We have some dates in mind, but we just are like thinking about it.
Yeah. And so for us, our investment committee is three people. Mm-hmm. It's myself, my husband, who also is a partner, and Alexis that you may have seen running around here. She's a partner at the fund, but also wears multiple hats. And so the process is you have to have two votes to get through. Alexis has one, Brian has one, I have two, so I can push them through if I want. What's it look like to come to committee for Serena Ventures?
Yeah, so we have two people on our investment committee. And so far we've worked really well together. I feel like I'm very in tune with business and in tune with what we want and in tune with how I want to guide the company. So if there's something that Allison believes in that I don't believe in, but I don't know much about the business, I'm super humble enough to say, this is nothing I would ever invest in. But on the flip side, I don't know anything about this. I don't have a background on it. I don't know it. And if other people, they don't get a vote, but we ask what they feel and how they think about it. And we also have an advisor from another fund. So they just raised like a few $1 billion. So we just kind of all get together and talk it out. And there's been cases where I've literally said, I'm not voting for this, but I'm not saying no. And those companies have done amazing. And I think it's really teaching my team as well to have that humility. Like, maybe I know something more about this product or that product, and I really believe in it, then we invest in it. So far it's been a wonderful partnership of back and forth and give and take in that way. And I have to say that doesn't usually work. I quite frankly never seen that work, but I've worked with teams my whole life. If you think about it, I've been on a team since I can remember, and I've been leading a team since I was a teenager. So I really understand how to talk to people, how to discuss points, and how to, for lack of a better word, win.
What surprised you most about the fundraising process?
The most surprising thing, I don't know. I mean, so it was hard.
I
think the stress, I didn't realize I would be so stressed and it took so much time. Like, we were so happy because we were fundraising and investing at the same time, which everyone does, right?
So what's really interesting about this conversation with you is we're both emerging fund managers. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of things you're saying that we've gone through. Mm-hmm. So you pull that first money in, you make some investments, you prove that you've got, you know, yeah, a track record, though you made, you know, 50, 60 investments maybe before you even got to the fund. And so there's these, I guess, hurdles that folks put up and barriers that you kind of have to get through through the process. And so I think a lot of those things probably surprised me. Mm-hmm. You still have to prove yourself over and over. And I'm surprised sitting here that you had to do the same thing.
Oh, but there should be no surprise there. I know,
but it's you.
Yeah. But that's why I said I never forget at the core who I am. And I think that's really important because it also makes you understand that we also live in a world that isn't perfect. It's never going to be perfect until God intervenes. So we are living and working with imperfect people. And so for me, I always have that in front of my mind. And then I know, okay, you know what? I'm not going to either A, be offended, or just I'm going to keep going because this is what I'm dealing with and I'm going to make the best of it. And so that keeps me going. But yeah, I think the stress of it, because I am a performer and I'm an achiever and I love to achieve. For me, it was more or less like, I want to focus on our portfolio. I want to focus on our companies. I do not want to raise money right now. I do not want to take these calls. I have to say, it got easier in the end just to repeat. It was almost as if I was just repeat. Words were flowing out
like
of my
Shakespearean.
Mouth. Yeah. It got a lot easier. And then even the no's got easier. And then it even got offensive because I'm like, yes, no, because I got to go. And I don't really care what the answer is at this point because it's like, I don't have time for this. I have other things that I need to do. So I think also when you're so like, when you really remove yourself like that, it becomes not emotional. It just becomes factual. It's like, this is it. This is what we got. Are you in? Are you out?
Yeah. So I'm certain lots of folks make it into that portal. There's a few people reading them. Not everything makes it to you or to Allison. What should people know before they even apply? Like, what's knocking people out constantly?
Well, you know, you have to fit our thesis. Like, a lot of companies out there actually don't. Mm-hmm. You know, we're thinking about everyday people. So we're just, when you think of, like, the majority of people, I'm not going after just one group of people, like maybe just out of one area, one state, or we're really thinking about it as a whole. And so that also, I'm really into things that are global because I have a global platform that I'm able to use and help our portfolio companies out with. And so why limit to national when if a product is global, that kind of makes more sense to us and to what we invest in and also how we can help you. Because at the end of the day, I am trying to return the fund. I am returning the fund in a lot of ways. So those are things that are super important to know. We have two people looking at those emails and it's a lot. It's a lot of decks that we get. It's a lot of things that we see. And we have our weekly calls and we talk about some of them. And yeah, just also send it 3 times. I love that one thing where keep asking and keep asking if you think you have something really amazing. And maybe you'll at least get a thanks, but no thanks.
That's helpful. Mm-hmm. Any advice for emerging fund managers?
Yes. You have to have skin of brick. You know, let everything slide off and never give up, because, you know, you can make it. You just have to continue to go and to grow and use someone next to you as inspiration, or ask questions, like continue to ask questions to someone. Because at the end of the day, we hope everyone leaves this conversation with the one thing of, I'm going to help someone out. And it's not going to be I'm going to invest in them, but I'm just going to support them. And how can I support them? And I think that's a really one thing that we can for sure leave with. And if you're going to be that support, whether you're asking or supporting, that's going to be so important. So I think having support is super important, and just figuring out who your support is.
All right. Well, here's my parting question. So what advice would you like to give and maybe impart on this group as we leave today?
I repeat what I just said.
All right. Well, Miss Serena Williams, I really do appreciate this conversation today. Thank you for letting this this person pepper you with questions around venture capital. Everyone, give it up for Serena Williams.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That was Serena Williams sharing her strategy, presence, and power in motion. She's proof that your platform is your starting point. Your legacy is in the rooms you build, the checks you write, and the futures you back. If this episode resonates, go ahead and subscribe to Road to Black Tech Week, then share with someone who's sitting on a $1 billion business idea. We'll see you in Cincinnati. Black Tech Week 2025 is July 14th through the 16th. Visit blacktechweek.com for all the details. Until then, lead with vision, invest with intention, and know your worth. I'm Candace Matthews-Rakeen. I'll see you in Cincinnati.